So Baruch Hashem Rabbi Yisai, Roni finished off. Roni finished off the cycle of the Sefer Chofetz Chaim on Friday with the Chofetz Chaim's final comments, and we are going to start today a new cycle. We're going to go back to the beginning and start the new cycle. Lizchus Refuah Shleima for Yosef Dov Ben Chayla v'chol Shara Choli Yisrael. And the actual Seder started on Rosh Chodesh Shvat, which was Thursday. So therefore, we need to catch up a little bit. So we'll do 2 days at a time for the next 3 days, and then we'll be up to date in Yetz Hashem. The first thing the Chofetz Chaim says at the beginning as a Hakdoma is as follows. The second Beis HaMikdosh, was destroyed because of Sinas Chinom. That's what the Gemara tells us. It says, all Loshon Hara, all speaking bad about other people, is based on Sinas Chinom. Whether you're being Moitzi Shemra, which means you're telling lies about the other person, untruths about the other person, whether you're speaking Stam Loshon Hara, which means you're Stam criticizing the other person, telling over to Levi, Reuven's telling over to Levi the bad things about Shimon, and whether it's Rechilus, and Rechilus means that he's telling bad things about Shimon, which has a consequence. As a result of that, I'm going to stay away from Shimon, I'm not going to do business with Shimon, I'm not going to make a shidduch for Shimon, whatever it is. He says, whether it's Moiti Shemra, whether it's Loshra, whether it's Rechilus, it's all based on Sinas Chinom. It's all based on the fact that I feel that I'm superior to Yenem and I want to put him down. Yeah, that's what he says. So he says, if Sinas Chinom was enough of a reason to actually destroy a Beis HaMikdosh, then Sinas Chinom must be a reason why we're not zoicha to Gu'ula. Said that's the reason for prolonging the Golus. If it's bad enough when we had a Beis HaMikdosh, and the Sinas Chinom came and destroyed the Beis HaMikdosh, then Kol Shekein, he says, that we're not zoicha to the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdosh as a result. So he said, people think, sit down on Tisha B'Av, and they sit on the floor, and they cry about Chuban Beis HaMikdosh. And when you say, Almo Ovdo Ha'oretz, the Gemara says, or the Novi asks the Kasha, the Gemara asks the Kasha, yeah, why was the Beis HaMikdosh destroyed? And we say, all Sinas Chinom. Zot the Chofetz Chaim, we're all thinking about the Sinas Chinom of 2,000 years ago, of all those terrible people who lived in Yerushalayim at the time, who were not nice to each other. He says, and the emes is that the Sinas Chinom that we have to worry about is our own Sinas Chinom. The continuing speaking of Loshon Hara, the continuing speaking of Moitzi Shemra, of Rechilos, etc. He said that's what's preventing the Gula from happening. And therefore, he says, when we think about the Beis HaMikdosh being destroyed as a result of Sinas Chinom, we should be thinking about Sinas Chinom in 2024, and not the Sinas Chinom from 2,000 years ago. That is lesson number one. That was day one of Shvat. The second thing that the Chofetz Chaim says is, and this is on day two, because as I said, we're trying to catch up a little bit. So today is day four. You know, today is day four, the fourth of Shvat. So the limud of Friday, which would have been Beis Shvat, was as follows. He says that you can't really blame. He says, now he's saying, I've said yesterday that the reason why the Beis HaMikdosh has not been rebuilt is because it's in Sinas Chinom, that's Loshon Hara, etc., etc. Says, on the other hand, he says, you can't really blame people so much, he says, for the fact that they speak Loshon Hara, for the fact that they're not Machshiv, the Aveir of Loshon Hara, says the Chofetz Chaim. Why? Because there was nowhere until now, until I wrote my Sefer, said there was nowhere where you could really find all the halachas put together. There was nowhere where you could go. It says the halachas and the dinim of Shulchan in Shulchan Aruch. There was no Shulchan Aruch. There is no Shulchan Aruch on Hilchas Loshon Hara, Hilchas Rechilus, Moitzi Shemra. Doesn't exist. So the Ma'amori Chazal was scattered all over the place. They're all over the Gemara and they're in the Yerushalmi and other places like that. So people didn't know. People didn't know really the halachas. There was no basis on, you know, unless you were very, very big Talmud Chacham, then you could maybe give a shir on, you know, if you knew all the Marim HaKoymas from here and there and everywhere, then you could give maybe occasional shir on Hilchas Lashon Hara. But it wasn't something that people spoke about. It wasn't a limud that people learnt regularly. That's number one. He said, secondly, he said, most of the world goes around, and I must say, I think this is true. I mean, it doesn't need my haskama, the Chofetz Chaim. Yeah, but I think you'll tell me that it is true that there are many, many people, a large proportion of people, who walk around thinking that if it's true, it's not Lashon Hara. Yeah? If I'm telling something about somebody else, it's not a lie, and it's not an exaggeration, and I haven't changed any of the facts, etc., etc., I'm telling the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Yeah, people think that it doesn't lashon hara. He said, "Well, sorry."
100 people have told me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's true. It's true. Yeah, it's true. And I'll be honest. Yeah, I'm not being sexist here. A lot of ladies think that as well. They really believe, yeah, they may have been to Sem, they may have learned, etc., 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 and this is after Chofetz Chaim. So the Chofetz Chaim, and before I wrote my Sefer, and before I drew attention to the halachas of Lashon Hara, and before I made it so public, he said, people zecher believed. Even today, afterwards, we're talking 100 years after he wrote the Chofetz Chaim. And 100 years after the Chofetz Chaim, there's still a large proportion of Haimisha from people who want to be Shomrei Torah or Mitzvahs, who believe that if it's true, it's not Lashon Hara. And the truth is, if it's true, it is Lashon Hara. If it's not true, it's Moitzi Shemra. That's a different category. That's even worse than Lashon Hara. But if it's true, if I'm just, you know, telling tales about somebody, telling about somebody who did something in shul, there was a bust up and he had a fight, and blah, blah, blah. You come home and you tell them the plot, because all the interesting things that went on in shul, then that is Lashon Hara. It's absolutely true. I haven't changed any of the facts. I haven't changed anything whatsoever. I haven't exaggerated, told it exactly as it is, pure Lashon Hara. Says the Chofetz Chaim, therefore, he says, you can't really blame people. So there was a public perception that if it's true, it ain't Lashon Hara. And secondly, there was nowhere to go to in order to learn Hilchas Chofetz Chaim. What we call Hilchas Lashon Hara. Yeah, there wasn't anywhere. He says, now that I've written my Sefer, now we have a Shulchan Aruch for the first time where people can learn the Keseda, they can learn the Inyonim, and it's Taka true, and now you've got afterwards, you've got Art School and the Manchester Rosh Yeshiva Zichron Levrocha with various diaries for learning one halacha a day, one subject a day, etc., etc. So, and you've got the Chofetz Chaim Heritage Foundation and all the, yeah, you've got various things, and Baruch Hashem Achshadora, that Baruch Hashem, that our generation is blessed that we do have. We do have the opportunity to learn Hilchas Lashon Hara and to know about it and to understand it and therefore to be more careful about it. And that was the limud of day two, which is what I prepared for day two. Right, day three. We might as well. The I don't know where the Rebbe is. Yeah,
he was in Hagas this morning.
He was in Hagas this morning. So he's daven Shachris. What? 20 past 8, so maybe he hasn't finished Shachris yet. I don't know. I remember many, many years ago, the Kala Vareba Zechroni Levrocha, the Kala Vareba came to London, and he caused a little bit of a revolution because he spent Shabbos in St. John's Wood. He went there, and he davened there, and he feared Tish there, and the people came along, and they joined in, and they had a great time. It was a real experience for them. Anyway, on Sunday afternoon, the Rebbe was available for people to come and consult. And this guy came in, and he was a wealthy man, and he was regarded as a very, you know, choshuva person. And he said to the Rebbe, I must tell you, the truth is that the wheel of fortune has turned, and I've lost a huge amount of money recently. And I'm asking the Rebbe, he gave him a pigeon, he gave him some money, stock of money, and he wrote a kvittel, and he said he asked the Rebbe for a brocha that he should recover. So the Rebbe said, yes, Im Yirtzeh Hashem, I'm giving you a brocha that you will recover and you'll become as rich as you were beforehand and all the losses will be wiped out. Fine. So the Rebbe went back to Eretz Yisrael, and a couple of weeks later the guy phones up and he says, Rebbe, he said, you gave me a brocha. Yeah, it's still looking pretty bad. He said, nothing's happened. The Rebbe says, be patient, it will come.
They come in, I think we're going to have a drink, possibly.
Yeah? Okay, yeah, so let me finish quickly then. Yes, you hear the end of the story. So, yeah, it was Alta Yeka, the guy, yeah? And he said, Rebbe, he says, well, where's the brocha? So the Rebbe said, be patient. Sure, after 4 weeks he phoned up, and he said, things are even worse. He said, you know, what's going to happen? And the Rebbe said, be patient. The brocha will be mekuyim. Eventually, he phoned up every 2 weeks. And after 3 months, things started to improve. And after 4 months, he was back to where he was. So he phoned up the Rebbe and he said, I want you to know that Baruch Hashem said that the bracha has been mekuyam. He says, Aya got, yeah, is Zeya Faleslech, Zukta. Said, your God is very reliable. Aber nicht punktlich. He said he took a long time over it. He wasn't quick enough for me. Yes, he said, your Rebbe, he said, he's very reliable. I got my bracha in the end, but I had to wait too long for it. That was his what's called. So, anyway, I'll call upon him. The Chofetz Chaim is saying to us that, first of all, we need to be nizah in Hilchas Lashon Hara because that will bring Mashiach and that will bring the Beis Hamikdash B'meir V'Yameinu Amen. And in addition to that, he was saying, now that you've got the Sefer and you've got the opportunities and you've got the diaries, therefore we should learn the Inyonim and we should know. Rule number one is that if it's true, it's Lashon Hara. What? Still have another minute. Okay. Yep. Okay. Yeah, this is a bit of a scary one. This is day three. Yeah, day three, the Chofetz Chaim says as follows. He says that every person, effectively, I'll try and say it in a minute, because he says that every person who speaks Lashon Hara, yeah, is an accomplice to the Sot. He said, every day, he says, in heaven, there is a daily judgment of the world. There's a daily judgment of individuals. There are dinim going on constantly. And he said, and the Sotan brings along his accusations, day after day, time after time, 1,000 times a day. The Sotan comes in front of the Kisei HaKovod, and he brings accusations against Klal Yisrael. Said, but the Rabbi Shalom turns around to him and says, bring me proof. Bring me proof. Yeah, bring me proof that people have done things wrong. Sotan comes along and says, Reuven did something against Shimon. Yeah? And the Rabbi Shalom says, bring me proof. So the Sotan comes along and says, I can bring you proof. You know why? Because Reuven hit Shimon around the face, smacked Shimon in the face in Shul. Yeah? And then Levi went home and told his wife about it. So therefore it must be true, because they're talking about it in heaven. So he says, his Edim are coming from the Baalei Lashon Hara, says the Chofetz Chaim. Edim, the Rabbeinu Shlom needs Edim, or the Sotan is bringing Edim, and so many things that we're accused of when we're doing something wrong, the Edim are, unfortunately, the people who are speaking Lashon Hara, they're saying, Ba'olam Hazeh, the people are speaking about it, therefore it must be true. So therefore the Chofetz Chaim says that we become, by speaking Lashon Hara, about speaking about bad things about other people, we become accomplices. He said, we become accomplices, we become the servants of the Sotan. He says, and therefore he says, there's another reason why we should think about it, and we should, like, be nizah. We should be careful not to speak Lashon Hara, because we're actually helping the Sotan in his arguments to the Rabbeinu Shlom, which are against Klal Yisrael. Clearly, we don't want to do that. Fakiat, he says, but of course, if you're nizah and you don't, then the Sotan doesn't have proof. If he doesn't have proof, then the Rabbeinu Shlom says, go away. You can't bring me any proof. Then everything must be okay. Is that all right, or shall I go to day four? Well, are we all right? Yeah, we can do a chumash.
Maxi.
Where's the table?
Follow today the Turaway, Northwest London. Okay. Sunday, 4th of Shabbat, 14th of January, the Radzina Rebbe, Admiral Moreno Rabbe, Lomiyush Eglar Schlieter, the Shitter of Ishvitzer, Radzin on the Parsha. This is prayer sponsored the first Kadosun of Mayor Feinario and Debbie Gutter of Sestifia. Sustan will take place in Yisashem on Tuesday. He will also receive the Ba'ak Kamron before the Shem Lishilo, and also the Stus Hashiruyim, the Achayolim Amil Kamar Shiachzur, the Votahir, the Shalom Heiro.
Yoimer Hashem el Moshe boil paroi, kani echpadeti esliboi v'sleiv avodov, l'man shisi oishoisai eile b'kirboi. To when do I have to speak? To what time exactly? Till when?
Till 10:02, but you can...
I don't know. I don't want to overgo the time.
If anybody wants to leave, they can leave, but the rabbi can speak a bit longer.
because I was late. A little bit sorry for that. כי אני אכפדתי אסלי בוי ולב עבודוב למען שיסי ריסוי סייאלה בקיר בוי. So we see in the Pasuk that Hashem tells Paroi that you should approach Paroi. Hashem tells Moshe, go approach Paroi because I stiffened his heart. Why? In order to put the a little higher?
Louder.
Okay. We see in the Pasuk that Hashem tells Moshe to approach Paroi and to warn him that he should send the Jewish children out of Mitzrayim. And he tells him in advance that he will not listen. I will stiffen his heart, and he will not listen what you're telling him. So the question arises, why should actually Moshe Rabbeinu approach Paroi if he knows to begin with that Paroi wouldn't lend an ear to listen to what he says? And the main question is, as we know, that in this world there is a bechira. There is a system that everybody could choose his way, whether to listen to Hashem, then he will get rewarded, or in contrary, to ignore what Hashem says, to go on his own way, and then he will get the punishment. He deserves the punishment because he chose not to listen to Hashem. So now the question arises, since Paroi was taken away the choice to listen to Hashem. Why? Because Hashem tells Moshe that he will stiffen his heart. So why actually does Paroi why does he deserve the punishment? He has done nothing wrong. I mean, he has done something wrong, but he does have no choice, because Hashem tells him in advance that he will take away the choice from him. And especially as we know that this is the main system, this is the fundament of the whole world, that everybody could choose whether to do good or to do evil. So how come Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu that he will deprive Paroi from the free will and the free choice? This doesn't get along with all what we know about the system, how Hashem created the world. The Rambam in Hilchas Tshuva, in Perek Hamishi, Halacha Aleph, he says, and I'm quoting, Rishus lekol adam nesuna, everyone has permission, im rotzo lahatos atzmoy lederech toivo, vilyos tzadik, if he wants to choose the righteous way, is harishus miyodai, he has permission, go ahead. And if he does not want to choose the good way, alas, he could choose the wrong way, the bad way. It's his choice, but he's going to have to take the results. He's going to be punished. And he even continues saying, Al yavro b'machshavtecho, don't even try to think, it's an interesting expression. Don't even try to think about the idea that the tipsheum is oilam, the stupid goyim, and the goyim mibnei Yisrael, the people that their mind is not developed. Shakodesh bochu goyzer al odom betchilas briyoser liyos tzadik ha-yosher. As if everyone's path is already cut out. It's already set away. And everyone has to go the path as Hashem gave him right in the beginning. Because this is not true. That every person which becomes created and comes, his soul comes to the world, Hashem says he will be rich or poor, he will be smart or stupid, but he doesn't say if he will be a tzaddik or a rosha. That's up to the person. Right? Okay. And he says that the Torah says, Re'ei nosati lefonecho hayoim. Es hachayim, es hatoif. Es hamoves, es hara. Uvacharto b'chayim, you should choose the life, the way of life, pathway of life, and not the pathway of the opposite.
Right? He said in the Pesach clearly, Hashem said, I want to punish Boris.
Right.
Want to bring the punishments.
Yeah, but the question is, why should Hashem want to bring the punishments, and why should Paroi actually deserve the punishment since he wasn't given the opportunity and the possibility to choose the right way, because Hashem informs Moshe Rabbeinu in advance that he will stiffen his heart, which means, in other words, it's not up to him, it's up to the divine right. So why should he suffer the punishment later? Anyhow, so the Rambam actually, he lays the fundament, but he also handles this question, and he says that sometimes it may occur that Hashem takes away the free choice from a person, even though usually people have a free choice. Why does this happen? He says that sometimes the person has sinned so severely, he has done so many bad deeds, so Hashem, as part of the punishment on what he did, he takes away the free choice from him, and he is not free any longer to choose the good way. Which, in other words, this is also part of the punishment. The punishment he deserves, not because of now, not because of today, because he did the advice of Hashem. He deserves it because of what he has done earlier, as he has gone the wrong pathway, and he did. It's not only because of one time that he violated the law. It's because he many, plenty of times, and he was so delved in the hate, in the sins, so Hashem finally decides, listen, if he's so delved in sins, and he's so delved in the wrong way, now I will take away from him the opportunity to do tshuva. And he brings a pasuk that the Yeshaya Hanavi says, Hashmein lev ha'om hazeh ve'osno ve'heshav osha. All pasuk, anyways. And with this idea, the Rambam explains that that's why that the pasuk says, "Vaniya chazek esliboy." As we raised the question earlier, how is it possible that Hashem should stiffen Pari's heart and then later come and complain to him and punish him? So he says, because Paro was so evil, it was so bad, and he started with the Bnei Yisrael saying, Hova nischak moloi, so therefore, he deserves that Hashem should deprive him from the free choice. So, and what is the question that still arises? Lom hoyo shalech lo biyad Moshe, v'omer lo yishlach v'asei tshuva. If so, then let Hashem punish him for his bad deeds right away. Why does he have to send Moshe Rabbeinu to warn Paroi and say, listen, this and that? And we know to begin with that he won't listen. So just let down the punishment on his head and finished. Why does he have to send him and tell him that he would not listen? And only then he would get the punishment. Send right away the punishment, whatever Hashem wants to punish Paroi, and that's it. It's a good question. Says the Rambam that there's a pasuk in the previous parsha saying, "Va'ata v'avadechi yodati." I know that you won't listen anyhow. Ulam bavuzeh hemaditicho. There's a purpose why Hashem put Paroi in such a situation. What's the purpose? The purpose is not only that Paroi should get the punishment that he deserves, but that the whole universe, the whole world should know, should be aware that why is Paroi becoming punished? Because Hashem sent Moshe to him and demanded he should free the Jewish people, and he didn't want to listen. That's why he deserves the punishment. And with this, there will be a Kiddush Hashem. Everyone will see that Hashem, he is the master of the universe, he is the boss of the world, and someone who listens to him, he gets rewarded. And someone who does heed his words, he gets punished. So this is actually the purpose why Hashem sent Moshe Rabbeinu. Not in order that Paroi should really listen and take to his consciousness that I have to send the Jewish people, because he would not do it. He would only be forced to do it. But in order to let all the people in the world, the whole Egyptian nation, know that this and that is the reason why Paroi is becoming punished, in order to get this purpose out, so Hashem sent Moshe Rabbeinu to warn him. This is what the Rambam says. Okay. So now, actually, what do we see if we would conclude what the Rambam is saying? We see here that actually, even though a person is usually granted a free choice, but sometimes he's done so much bad and so much evil that he loses this advantage, and he is deprived of the free choice that usually all people benefit. Okay. But still, there are questions to be asked here. Why actually would Hashem take away the free choice from a person? As we know that every single person, whatever he has done, no matter how deep he fell into sin and how bad he committed, he has the right to do tshuva. There is tshuva in the world. That's what Hashem says to all of us, v'shafta v'shem elekecho, that if someone sins, and we're all human beings, everyone has the evil inclination, the Yetzer Hara. Sometimes we fall we have a pitfall. We could do tshuva. We could return. We could repent. Why was Paroi actually taken, deprived from this benefit to do tshuva, like all people? And we have a pasuk saying it. We mention it at Ne'ilah. Kiloy achpoitz b'moyz hameis. Hashem says, he witnesses and says that kiloy achpoitz b'moyz hameis. My will is not that the Russia, the wicked man, should die. I don't want him to die. If there's no chance he does tshuva, then he should die. But if he could do tshuva, I prefer him doing tshuva rather than he should die. Ki ivashivu v'chiyu. This is the question which still remains in this topic. As we know, the Chari Tshuva Loinin Alu, that means that the gate doors to doing tshuva never ever gets locked. You always have the possibility.
Are there certain people that can't do tshuva? We do say that. There are people who can't do tshuva. Their tshuva won't be accepted.
Why not? Why not?
Because they're so bad.
So bad? But if he really does tshuva, and he repents. Let's take a sample. We all know that there were two big Rishoyim in the history that were terrible. As we know, there was what's called Achav Melech Yisrael, the king of Israel. He was terrible. He did all the bad things with Avodah Zarah and Shfichas Damim in every single thing which can and cannot be done. And still, when the Navi, the prophet, comes to him and tells him, what are you doing here? And Hashem is going to stop the rain. You have no rain. There will be a hunger in your land. So then, suddenly, Achav decides that he is going to humble himself before the Navi. And he suddenly became humble and he put on a sack, and he started fasting. Then Hashem comes to Eliyahu Navi and tells him, did you see, did you notice how Achav suddenly humbles himself and he puts himself down and low? Therefore, he said, I will punish him because he did very bad things. But the punishment won't come to be in his life. It will be only later on, after he passes away, his son will become killed. He won't continue the royal dynasty, but during his lifetime, he will remain king. All because of that he did tshuva. Now we have another sample from Menashe, the king of Yehuda, the son of Chizkiyahu HaMelech. He was terrible. He was very wicked. He was a big rosha, and finally, Hashem gave him under the Moabites, and they conquered Yerushalayim, and they took him away, and they put him in a pot, they placed him in a melt pot, and they started cooking the pot while he was inside. So he started mentioning all the goyish Avodah Zarah, but of course to no avail, nothing helped because this is Avodah Zarah. Then finally he says, listen to this, he says, okay, there's still one more God I didn't mention, I didn't pray to him. This is the God of my father, which is Hashem Yisborach. If Hashem will help me, so then I know he is the right God. And if not, so he's just the same as the other ones that I mentioned before. And still, the Malachim didn't want to give him the opportunity to do tshuva because this is terrible. This is what he's saying after all what he did. This is unbelievable. What did Hashem do? He chosa chatiri. He made a tunnel as if he dug out a tunnel, mitachas lekisa kovet, under the throne of the glory, in order to take Menashe and to give him opportunity to do tshuva. Now, why did Hashem do that? In order that everyone in the history, if someone will do bad things and later he would like to do tshuva, then he would tell himself, okay, but I have done so much averis, it's impossible for someone like me to do tshuva. Okay? So Hashem says us, listen to me. If Menashe HaMelech, after all what he has done, and he's done terrible, terrible things, not only on his own, for the whole kingdom, and he was a choyte machti, even though I accepted him for tshuva, so then you, whoever it is, can also do tshuva. If he was eligible to do tshuva, then you are surely granted this opportunity to do tshuva. Okay. Anyhow, so the question becomes much more stronger. What is about Paroi? Why did Hashem take away from him the opportunity, the free choice, and the opportunity to do tshuva. Okay? This is the question. And so the Rambam also handles with this question. And he says that that still the Eibishter gives a person an opportunity, one, two, three. But if he denies this opportunity, sometime he loses the choice. But still, it's not yet it's not yet explained. So let's hear a different approach, which will answer this question too. This is the Baal Akedas Yitzchok Akedah. He says like this. He says that Anyways, the Rambam is very difficult, but I think that maybe we'll have a tiny explanation which could give us some insight into this case. What did we ask? We asked that everyone has an opportunity to do tshuva. And that is right. Nobody is deprived of his possibility to do tshuva. But this is all if it's nogeya to a person for himself. In a personal approach, you say that the person can do tshuva. Everyone has the pathway back. But if there could be a benefit for the whole klal, if this person does not do tshuva, then it will bring great benefit for the general, for the whole klal Yisrael, then could be that Hashem takes away the possibility to do tshuva. In other words, actually, someone who was such a big rasha, actually, he doesn't deserve the possibility to do tshuva. It's not like every single person that could sometimes fall in a pit and do a virus, so Hashem grants him the possibility to do tshuva. It's much more because he's so bad and he's so evil and he's so such a big rush. But even though Hashem doesn't lock the door, only if it's a thing that applies to the Klal Yisrael, which need to see what happens to someone that does not do tshuva, then Hashem could deprive the possibility to do tshuva. Because this is negated to the Klal, so Hashem, he reserves this possibility to sometimes, in such cases, and this was the case exactly by Paroi too. By Menashe HaMelech, it was a private sin. But by Paroi, Hashem had a purpose to show everyone what happens. Therefore, in this certain case, so the toive from the klal, from the klal overcomes the toive of the prat. The prat, for the single paroi, as we call him, it's much better that he should be able to do tshuva. But for the klal, it would be better on if such a rosha would not be accepted to tshuva. Okay, this is one thing. Then comes the shlo. The shlo HaKodesh, we all know, he says an interesting approach. He says like this. Paroi may do tshuva as much as he wills. But tshuva, we must know that tshuva has to come out of the heart. It must be sincere, it must be serious. What happens but if somebody tells a person, do tshuva? So the man thinks a moment to say, okay, I'm doing tshuva. We all know that this is ridiculous. This is not considered tshuva. Tshuva, if you sin with the heart and you neglect what Hashem told you, so if you really want to do tshuva, so you have to a little bit bow your head down and to show that you're going to listen from today on, you really want to go in Hashem's drachim. But if someone just says, okay, so I'm doing tshuva, that's not serious. That's the reason why Paroi was deprived of doing tshuva. If he really, really, really was serious and he would be out to do tshuva, that's one. But he wasn't serious. Every time he said, okay, the borot, I'm Hashem HaTzadik. What happened, Nuchtem? Oitcho. Once again. And that's the whole line he followed was this way. So that's why the Shloss says that really the punishment for Paroi didn't come because what he didn't send the Jewish children, what he didn't listen to Hashem. The punishment he really deserved because all what he did for the but if he at least would have done a serious tshuva, Hashem would have accepted it. But Hashem already saw that this Paroi is not serious. He's like, as you say, he's joking. He's not. It's not the real person, which is out to do tshuva. And so says this foreigner too, that the main point against Paroi was that he's not serious with his tshuva. Then there's another approach. Another approach says like this. Actually, what does tshuva mean? Tshuva means that someone considers what he has done. And he says, I have to change direction. Something was wrong. My approach was very mistaken. It was very, like, I have to turn all the way around. Okay. But here, what do we have here? Here we have the makos. All the punishments which Hashem sent upon Mitzrayim as a land, as a country, as a population. Now, what does Paroi come and say? I'm doing tshuva. Is he really doing tshuva? No. Why isn't he not doing tshuva? Because actually, if not that he got all these punishments, he wouldn't even think a bit to do something to change course. He will remain the same Paroi. The only thing that forces him actually to tell Moshe Rabbeinu that he will go, he will be straight, is all only because he has such punishments. Now, if you take someone and you torture him, and you give him plagues and you hit him violently, so what would every normal person say? Oh, leave me alone! It's already too much for me. I can't stand it. Please free me from this. What do you want? That I should do tshuva? Yeah, I'm doing tshuva. This is not considered tshuva. Why? Because it's as if that you're being forced from an outer force. You're being forced to do what you're doing, but this is not really considered tshuva. Tshuva comes. Yes, okay. Sometimes a person suffers, as it says, toshev en hashadaka v'toyim hashuva b'nei odom. Which means that this person sees that im roye odam yisurim boim alav yafash b'shpemasav. So he says that this must be some reason. He tries to figure out. He must be mistaken in his ways. And then he comes to the conclusion, listen, I have to do tshuva. But here it was not like this. Here he kikrig makas and klep. He was being beaten up from all sides. This is not considered tshuva. So that's why Hashem decided to take away from him this possibility, because this is not really the possibility which Paroi was looking for. And the same thing he says, the Beis Halevi, the Brisk Rav, says a similar approach. He says, what is tshuva? Tshuva, he says, okay, we have a free choice, right? So we have a free choice, we could choose this way and that way. If both possibilities are on the same level, we have our will is balanced, we could either choose this way or that way. And it's all the same. So every person will have to carry the consequences of what he chose. But if we're beating up someone, that doesn't mean that it's really tshuva, because he's getting a klep from all sides. So of course, this is not considered tshuva. I just remind myself that with this I will finish. that something similar to it, one of the priests, the Goyish priest, asked Reb Hirshel Levin. He was the Rav of Berlin for 200 years ago. He asked, why do you Jews, you bribe the judge, the Gentile judge, you bribe him, you give him shoichat. As all we all know, there was plenty of gezeiros, decrees, bad decrees against Jews, and we try to bribe him. How come this is terrible? It's shoichat. So he goes like this. He says, "Listen, what is shoichat? Shoichat. The bad thing about shoichat is ki shoichat ya'avrei nechachomim. It blinds the eyes of the judge. Why does it blind? Because usually he have all everything is straight and leveled. It's like it's balanced." And now when you put in money in his pockets, he says, oh, listen, oh yeah, okay, so he's right. But this is all said, to begin with, everything is balanced. But what happens when a Jew and a Gentile come before a court? This is no balance there. Why? Because the judge would automatically say, of course the Gentile is right and the Jew is wrong. So the bribe, the shoichat is, to get it back balanced. Without the shoichat, then surely the yid will lose the case. But the shoichat gets it back. Doesn't it bring the Jew to be correct. It brings it just to be balanced. So the same thing is also by parah. That Hashem said, "Kanich badati yisliba," doesn't mean to say that he did not have the possibility. This is just in order that he should be able to suffer this whole process of the Makkos, and still he will have something balanced. Because otherwise, if Hashem wouldn't stiffen his heart, so then he will break down. He will break down because of the Makkos, not because he's doing tshuva. So in order to give Paroi the same balance which he deserves as free choice, so then Hashem has to give the Makkos, and parallel, he has to also stiffen his heart. And this is it. Chananya ben Akosha, Eimer, Ratzah, Gedroch, Lezakos, Yisrael, Picho, Hebel, Lutera, Mitzvah, Shenema, Adin, Lechov, Tzman, Tzidkoi, Yag, Lutera, Viyad. Amen.